Friday Afternoon Deploy is live deploying for real right now on this show. You get to listen. I hope it's interesting.
Was unexpected.
Yeah, I hoped it would be.
Yeah, well done, sir.
Thank you. I don't sit here like this the whole time, but I thought I would do it specifically for this application.
That was quite the reveal.
To get me in the building.
Yeah, sure.
Never know when one of our less fortunates might corner me outside the building or something.
I just realized what you meant by less fortunate.
Dollars, here, get back.
And it takes forever to start. Yeah, for Zoom to start for me. It's so annoying. I hate it. Ever since I updated it.
Austin, you want to throw that screen share on?
I tried. It says a host is blocking it.
Oh, exciting.
Oh, no. I forgot that Slack let us do a call for Zoom in the Slack. I was confused at first. I didn't trust it.
Yeah, we didn't have to put in a meeting password either. Since it was shared in Slack, it just let us right in. But that may there be their security faults. And
I'm going to say make host. You're the host now. The host with the most.
Oh, look at that.
Hostess with the most is desktop one.
You are the admin, sir. There you are. Pseudo share screen.
So it's official. We are recording a podcast while live coding some tests and
Friday getting
the weekend code ready for our client, because they tend to want to use their staging server on the weekend to test stuff. And so.
A real Friday afternoon deploy.
Yeah, this is Friday afternoon deploy and during Friday afternoon deploy.
Meta, very meta.
It's so meta. It's great. And so Austin's screen sharing while we all shoulder surf and watch him rewrite the test that failed.
It's still running here. Yeah.
It's still running?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
There it goes.
So hopefully this deploy will happen with no errors to speak of, really. Well, running our tests first, because our tests work, which is always good, especially when you have to move frantically at times, as has been requested by our current client. Got to nuke that temp file.
Have you all narrowed down where these temp files are coming from?
I believe that is coming from a piece of the ETL that's creating them to transform them. Look how well I disguised so much jargon, so much stuff.
Yeah, very vague.
You'll get even more of them if it runs the entire thing.
That's true. When you're in the whole test suite, there'll be more temp files. We need to update this on the other side of life, like make a card to clean up temp files from test runs.
I think specifically they definitely happen when you cancel the test in there somewhere. So it's
I've had them linger even after testing. Oh, okay. It should be part of the teardown. We've got teardown.
Yeah.
Our teardown method cleaning up some stuff already. We just need to include it in the cleanup.
Yeah, and we probably need to audit that. I could be more general. I'm trying to be very general, but there's a certain type of file too that I'm pretty sure we're not cleaning up. That we should probably clean up, because there are lots of those now out in the cloud.
Which cloud?
Our cloud.
Like on our instances or in CI from testing?
Not on our instances.
In a storage facility.
In the simple storage solution. Yes.
I see what you did there.
And the simple storage solution, I find it a game to try and be as vague as we can be.
Yeah, we need to put give me a second. Let's have fun with this. We need to enact some sort of legislation to empty the carrying device.
Yes.
The handled carrying device. The pail.
We need
legislation to clean the pail regularly.
Yeah, because I'm not sure what all's in the pail, what's important in the pail at this point. Yeah, I'm pretty sure none of it is, but
no, it's a garbage pail is what it is.
It's like a slop bucket, a pig slop bucket.
it's the little tin compost bin like what I have on my kitchen counter that goes to the outdoor compost. It's like that.
Yeah. I need compost. I don't compost, and I should. I used to, but I don't anymore. Well, but I don't know what I would do with the composting.
Once you renovate your lawn, though, maybe you'll have big plans for it.
You know what will happen if you do that? My dad does this and puts it in the garden, and then my dog goes out and digs and tries to find food.
Yeah, mine would too, but I fence them out, the bastards. They're not allowed in there because they eat poop. They would eat the chicken poop too. They're not allowed in there either. They have very non-discerning taste.
I just saw that Joe Perry.
I had to remember who Hollywood vampires were.
No, understandably. Oh, yeah. I did not tell you who all was in Royal Machines. Royal Machines is a washed up 90s. So for context for our listeners, I was talking about an inside joke I had with the COO of my previous company, because I worked, my first task there was to integrate their entire internal like financial and ticketing and billing and customer system with NetSuite. They're just like, hey, here's this giant monolith of an app you've never seen before. Can you just bolt it all onto NetSuite? Thanks. And then left me alone with the code for months. I had colleagues and stuff, but like I was the one figuring it all out. So anyways, NetSuite has Suite World every year, and the headliner for the first year was Royal Machines. And Royal Machines is a cover band made up of famous guys from other bands, including Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, Dave Navarro of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and other acts. Let me see here. Let me get it all.
Like, they're still a thing, aren't they? Because you and I had this conversation once, and I didn't know.
They've changed their name now. They're called Camp Freddy. No, they've stopped. Billy Morrison, who I forget where he was before. Remind me, Billy Morrison.
Billy Morrison. He's
from the Cult.
Ah.
Cult's a good band, I say. And another guy from Jane's Addiction. Anyway, they're this like covering their friends' songs and making stupid amounts of money. And it's just like, man, that's the life. But the inside joke was always, our COO was always talking to me about, hey, sending me to Suite World so I could go catch the Royal Machines concert. And then we would send each other Royal Machines videos and like tour dates and like, hey man, we got to go catch the Royal Machines playing at this thing out at the Hollywood Bowl or so-and-so's birthday or whatever, like random weird Hollywood events are going on. Go watch Mark McGrath sing songs by Smash Mouth. I would assume that the Royal Machines played some Smash Mouth.
It's probably safe to assume. Oh, Mark
McGrath.
DJ mostly on Sirius XM now.
Mark McGrath is?
I believe so.
On like Lithium? Is that the 90s probably station?
Yeah, that's probably where I heard
it. I hear him all the freaking time because I listen to this every time in my mom's car, because her car has a Sirius. That's the one I listen to. And he's always on there almost.
Yeah, we had a subscription, and for this past year. I think we recently canceled it because we went all in on Spotify with the family plan and everything. But yeah, that's where I'd hear him at. It had to have been because there was like three channels we listened to. We originally had gotten it for, it's really good for like road trips because of the comedy channels. But after a while, even that just becomes really repetitive.
Yeah. There's a...
Did we update the third-party service that we depend on for most of this?
As in how we communicate with them?
Yeah, because I'm seeing these submissions here, and they don't have corresponding third-party API references.
No, we shouldn't have.
Did it
nothing that touches that has been updated.
Oh.
Not intentionally, anyway.
I think those may have failed prior to getting there. So we can check into that.
You guys ever accidentally use print in JavaScript and then you go to the screen and it tries to like print a freaking paper off?
All the time.
That's one of my favorite happy accidents. I'm just like, that was dumb.
I always feel better about doing the Python in the JavaScript accidentally than the other way around. Like, I feel a little sad whenever I go to console. No. I just need to print.
Austin, did you deploy?
I have it pushed up to the branch, and I was waiting for CI.
Cool. I'm watching you flip through your screens very quickly.
Yeah, just got it pushed up.
The speed at which you do that is just staggering to me.
Probably doing some
an old man, Tyrell.
It's true. I've lost my edge. The tabbing. I tab around pretty quick, I think, but I can't touch Austin's tab speed. It's great. But I've noticed that, like, you've noticed that since you started at Lofty. Like, I remember, like, trying to introduce the code to you, and you'd be, like, flying through stuff. I'd be like, whoa, easy. Let me read a thing for a second. I just have to focus.
When you're managing big flex, but when you're managing, like, five Fortune 100 ETL pipelines at my previous work, there is nothing but constant fire drills. So you got to be quick on your feet, or you'll just drown.
Yeah. Good times.
That's why when I first started at Lofty and I walked into the one monitor situation, I was like, how will this ever work? Because at previous work, it was definitely a 3-monitor plus laptop setup at all times, just constantly moving, constant watching things.
3 monitors plus laptop? Did you use the monitor on the laptop?
Yes. Yep.
So we had four. I was about to say, to clarify, like, you had an external, so you had 2. We all run generally with 2. I don't think we've had anybody in our office run 2 externals plus theirs. I don't think everybody's gone 3 wide.
I just do one laptop screen.
I was running 3 externals plus laptop.
Yeah, I know. That is. You've got your own knock at that point.
My previous gig running as a technician for a help desk at an organization, I will be that vague with that one.
I like it.
I had a similar setup. It was a desktop computer, but we had 4 monitors. And that's because there were 4 different pieces of software that you had open at least all the time to fix at least 4 different problems that happened every 5 minutes, pretty much.
Brothers.
We're getting lost in there sometimes. It took a little bit to get used to.
Because I still don't use any more than 1 screen.
That's pretty much what I'm back to now. There's something pleasing to me about the minimalistic approach of just sticking with one, staying focused on it at a time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this has definitely improved my need for tab speed when you get down to 1 monitor. And now that I can do that, I definitely enjoy the 1 monitor setup. And obviously there isn't the need to be like watching X number of things on 4 different monitors. And I'm just looking at my code base for the most part.
You should go to the office and pull your extra monitor off of the thing there. That's what I did.
Oh, I got my vertical right next to me.
Okay.
For all ye old code reading.
And our office looks like some sort of a post-apocalyptic situation where, like, you come in here and every desk has just been cannibalized. Like, we grabbed everything and ran while the village was on fire.
We're through build and test, Austin, if you want to go ahead and merge.
Squash and merge.
Look at that. All the conversion control gone. That's clean. I like seeing no pull requests.
Well, you know how you said everything was going to need to be rerun?
Just about everything, yeah.
I was wondering if we had a way we could just trigger all of them to rerun then.
Because
go forward, that's how you roll.
Because of the nature of the environment, we don't really need to reprocess everything because there's just a bunch of junk data out on the staging environment. So we only really need to reprocess it for the data that's actually needed or actually being viewed. 90% of the data out here is Joseph playing around and uploading stuff. So there's no need to, and it's the copies of the same data. So we don't need to.
Testers be testing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is what we want for Warshore.
It is.
Hey, quit doing the thing I'm trying to do. You can stop sharing your screen at this point.
Huh?
You can stop sharing your screen.
So I can figure out what's going on with the...
Honestly, Will, you may need to just wait until I run some reprocessing and then just copy it down. Save you.
Yeah.
Yep. I think, Austin, to answer your question vaguely in regards to that third-party integration, I think two things have happened. Part of that was some of that got knocked over with deploys before we handed it off to the third party. Part of it is that the issue that they've had earlier this week with that third-party integration and new data types from different clients, global clients, that issue persists. That has not been fixed. They said it would be fixed on Wednesday, and here we are on Friday. And no updates have been posted. I confirmed that with them because they're kind of like, hey, they understandably looked to us to be like, hey, is it fixed yet? And thankfully, their guy who's been working with that vendor was just like, nah, it's still not working. Those other guys haven't gotten their stuff together yet. Didn't they say?
Why does this
biggest concern is
you see that?
Say again.
Go back.
Oh, you're still straight, Aaron.
Ingest status.
That's their team kind of stepping into building stuff.
Yeah, the misspelling.
Yeah, it's
that's Django. Django
does that for you. It tries to be helpful and make things plural, but sometimes it doesn't know.
Don't make your model plural, says Django. We'll do it for
you. Right, but. Also, don't end your model with the letter S.
There is, I'm pretty sure you can set, I can't remember if it's on the model or in the admin, but there's...
You can do a plural thing.
Yeah, there's a property that you can set to tell it what to do.
So,
like the meta or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, string meta, I believe.
My biggest concern is these corresponding uploads right here, regardless of the integration itself, should have instantly created relationships here. That's the part I'm concerned about.
Okay.
And so that's the part that I feel like I may keep screen sharing because we may have to look at that real quick.
Is there an error?
Let's do some live troubleshooting.
Yeah, let's do it.
2-hour exception handling device.
Yes.
You think that would be anywhere in Sentry?
Oh, she said it.
Oh, she didn't get vague enough.
Oh,
man. They know we use Sentry now. I'm sure they already
bleep
knew that.
I want to hear a lot of bleeps in this podcast, so they're like, what the heck was that?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see anything specifically that made me raise concerns about it.
Yeah, you and I are looking at the same exception. That's funny. I don't either. I don't see anything that's related.
It's just not doing anything.
So what I want to do is go git blame and see what the heck changed.
Well, have we confirmed that something is erroring? Can we rerun a task?
I'm assuming it's so there's not a task. It's just it would just be a re-upload of the file. So this is like one of the first things it does based off of the
creating that associated extra file because we know that it has that third-party integration.
Right, exactly. And so that's a part that's the part that's concerning to me.
I don't know if it has anything to do with what I did yesterday. Not sure.
I just want to see what's changed just to confirm that something has.
We can try and upload, see if we get one of those files or not.
That is for the response I want it for the upload.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
We talked about that last week, that relic of tech debt where we are required to update to get that process to kick off.
It is the basement that's now the dining room, and everyone's like, why is it underground? Why do we go downstairs?
There's some blame pointing to yesterday.
Related to those new integrations.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
The new integrations.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone, my eyes are glossing over at 4:30 here looking at this, but does anyone see anything specific?
Oh, I see. This is
showing. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. What was the change?
You want me to dip it from the specific PR?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Show me my tabs.
Those are boring tabs.
Can they be side by side? As I get picky with your screen sharing.
Oh, that's right. So the changes in here mostly were a result of linting and auto formatting.
Mm.
If I'm not mistaken. That's why they look very similar.
I'm not seeing this.
245. 245. What happened in the office just then?
I don't know.
Somebody got shot in the head.
It scared me. It scared me, though. Yeah. Just those upstairs noises, you guys. You remember those?
Those phantoms. Holy linter. Darn you. Mm-hmm.
I had to come to Jesus talk with him. I was like, hey, bro, you got to play on a team. I was like, I don't think you're as opinionated as your linter.
I almost take it. I almost take it personal that it turned all the single quotes into double quotes.
Oh, absolutely.
This ain't C or Java or any of that. Get that out of here.
Okay, so the changes look entirely cosmetic.
Right.
So nothing changed here.
Linting's fine. Auto-formatting is not.
Did that change?
Right. It's auto-formatting. He's got dark black.
Mm.
What is it? It's called black.
I don't know. I know you can set up VS Code to do that too.
Yeah,
I did it.
Black.
I did it one time.
The uncompromising Python code formatter.
Ooh,
that doesn't sound pompous at all.
Does not sound like a helpful tool to me. Yeah.
That sounds like an abusive DOE to me. There you go. I just dropped it in development.
It's creating one.
All right. Well, the third-party relationship creation has not changed in 4 months. So.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe we just wait for this deploy to finish.
Yeah, and it's still doing it regardless of whether the thing before it did its job anyway, so... Should just do it, whatever happens.
Oh, look and see what file type those were told they were. Like, were they specified to the correct?
Yeah, I checked that. They were. Tabs, get out of my way, Zoom, control, please. God.
Black is the uncompromising Python formatter. By using it, you agree to cede control over minutia of hand formatting. In return, black gives you speed, determinism, and freedom from PyCode style nagging.
Freedom! Freedom to do what it says.
I know, right?
Do you guys know about the RuboCop thing? About how they didn't want it to be called RuboCop anymore?
No.
RuboCop?
It has a three-letter word in it. That is a no-no word now.
They're calling it Rubo
Rubo Peacemaker. I don't know.
Enforcer.
Rubo, yeah, law enforcer.
Rubo.
It's too aggressive.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, it's too aggressive anyway. The little bit of Ruby programming I've done, I was not a fan.
It is aggressive. You're right. It is definitely aggressive, but
aggressive auto formatters are.
But you can also make it less aggressive by telling telling it what it should.
if the commercials are right, you should just give it a Pepsi, and it will become less aggressive. I am hype beast. I make cultural reference on podcasts. I'm trying to look at Black and see if there's a like, take it easy, bro, flag.
Yeah, and the thing about RoboCop, it's like 100 billion things. It's like, do you want this? I don't want to mark every single one of those. It's annoying.
Yeah, I was asked, can I run this on my stuff but not the other stuff? And I was like, I don't know, man. That's your local stuff.
All right. And depends on what IDE is using.
I'm sure there are ways.
Because some of them will save for you whether you want it to or not until you tell it not to.
Uh-huh.
That would be the PyCharms. I still every once in a while just try to get like Jedi autocomplete and stuff set up in Vim. I just saw the Vim docs here for Black, and I'm usually not successful, and I just go back to an IDE.
Me learning Vim is like me learning Morse code. Like, I still have intentions of doing it and take step towards it more and more all the time.
You probably know some.
Yeah. I know enough Vim to make it my preference when I'm doing like live debugging on a server. I want Vim when I'm on the server.
Yeah.
But I don't, Vim's not my default. What did you ooh about? Do you use Nano Willow? Is that what that ooh was?
Huh?
Do you use Nano?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
So through research, I can see in a thing, in our tool that resembles maybe a plant.
The plant tool.
I don't even see that UU. Oh my goodness! Free meeting will end in 10 minutes. I don't even see that the UUID for these specific uploads are in there for the third party call. So maybe we did just blow up in the middle, or blow that up in the middle of deploy. So once we,
I think that's exactly what happened. I'm not concerned about that.
We'll
require a re-upload, which we can either manually have them do, or we can do it on their behalf. Do we have have we confirmed that we have the complete file? If so, we can trigger the step that happens after successful file upload.
Ninja-like.
Mm-hmm. And watch it happen. And while we're doing that, I'll go ahead, once this deploys down, of course, I'll go ahead and pull and run locally that process to confirm that said steps take place, or I might even do it on the staging server with a different set of information.
So our buttons work, right?
Which buttons?
The red and blue ones.
Oh, in the back?
Yeah.
The red pill or the blue pill?
Yeah, those buttons.
I don't think we are in a status where those will work.
Yeah.
Based on what I'm seeing right here.
Yeah, because it hasn't even done anything yet. It's just done the very first thing.
Yeah. First step of the ETL is complete.
I got a lost clock timing down on me.
What's that?
I got a lost like clock timing down on me for the Zoom.
Yeah, I see that too. We're good. We'll bounce. We'll do the Zoom bounce and start a new meeting and make Casey stitch the audio together. That's what he gets for not being a part of this.
He and I were trying out a
party.
We were trying out a new tool that we may use in the future. It's a DAW basically in the cloud, which is interesting. So it would save our
claw, if you will.
Yes, it would save each of our individual audio tracks to like its own audio track.
And so like what it'll do is there's the audio you're listening to while the call is happening, and then it's also recording audio to your computer, and then that gets uploaded. And so it'll be of a better quality, of course.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting.
So that's something we want to try out.
Just deploy would finish, because there's a lot of reprocessing that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. That build image step takes a little while. It's about to kick over, though. We're close. I can see it from the time.
Now, we should be able to retest the buttons on this one. This one, yeah. I can push a button and make it do something. I'm pretty sure, yes, I can. So and I think because of the fix I pushed, we won't end up with duplication. So
that's exciting.
Yeah.
Don't push it though. We've got to let this deploy finish.
Yeah. Oh, hey, look at that message.
It's so pretty. Those messages, the prettiest of messages. I don't even know how that happened.
Organically.
Yeah. I think that thing is working as such. They don't have anything there.
Yeah. State machine working like it's supposed to. That's my state machine song, y'all.
I like it.
It's good.
Takes me back to whenever I had my first toy train set.
How so? Let's.
I don't know. That's just. That's all there is.
That's what you got.
Yeah, that's just any kind of state machine, like celery ETL process, reminds me of a model train set. Like, I guess I get the same giddy feeling when I see it running and it's working I was five and I'm sitting with the toy train set going, look at it, it's working. It goes around and around and around.
It's like getting to looking at the oven while your cookies are baking. You're like, oh, they're almost done. I can see it.
Oh, it's rising. Yeah.
On the
trail, I'm going to kick off the deploy again.
Yep. On the admin, would it be helpful to have that third party file referenced on the important thing? Yeah. So you can see if you know, you had one, you're like, where is it? So you wouldn't have to be like, which one is it?
Yeah, you know? That's a great idea, Willow.
Yeah.
Because you can see the important file from the third party file.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So being able to see it the other way. Double fail. What you talking about, Willis? Come on now. Get out of here with that noise.
One thing I wish that we could figure out is how to get rid of these like weird orphaned tasks.
Yeah, the receive.
Yeah. There's gotta be a way to do that. I just don't know it.
Not sure either. Not sure on, I know the nuclear option. You can always run a purge command that will it'll clear everything from the queue.
Kill it with like fire.
Yeah. Liquid fire.
Why is it queued? What is this queuing? There you go. You run. You don't queue. This isn't the UK. You don't queue up. So that's going. Good. Come on. Show me green.
Yep. Let's make sure those are still... It's good and healthy.
You
look at all that green.
Those are good greens.
Green for greens. Days.
I like green for days.
After couple of weekends where it's been reds and
yellow. Yeah, remember when everything used to be dead all the time?
Yeah.
I hope you're talking about winter.
I'm talking about what?
Winter.
She's talking about the winter that was like 2 weeks ago when we were all sitting around. Yeah. Why doesn't it work?
So that was what's crazy. So that for folks who don't, oh no, listeners would be aware. We figured out the source of the memory unpack, and it was somebody's misuse of pandas, as we had suspected. He went in, I think it was because he was manually populating those data frames with just some like, give me some numbers, bro. And pandas is just like, I got numbers for days, and just inflated the giant data frame. And I realized that this developer that's on their team just wasn't familiar with what pandas has to do to make those data frames be so viable and powerful. And I was just like, yeah. So I think the main thing that fixed it was him taking out the manual creation of data frames for dummy data. I'm interested to see how he handles that dynamic data that when he pulls it into a data frame. Presumably it'll spike and drop.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Instead of just like instantiating it and just like, I'm going to hold all these numbers, this vast array of arrays in memory for you.
Yeah. At runtime, like while the application server is firing up. Yeah.
There's a big old matrix just hanging out of meaningless numbers so that my dashboard's got circled.
Our button did not work. It is trying to call one step ahead of itself, because we are in the beginning step, and the only point from failed, it starts one step ahead of where it's at.
Interesting. All right.
So I just
one step ahead.
Three.
That's, I guess, doable, though. It's one ahead.
1 minute ago, we got a sentry error.
Yeah, that was from me. Clicking the button.
Oh. Button clickage. Breaking thingage.
Aha, that worked. Oh my god.
What worked?
The very first step that we originally put us on this.
Which one was it that you actually reran?
For what?
When you push the button.
How do I say this?
It's 10 minutes till
it is Friday. It is the last.
Do you have a number? That's pretty inconspicuous, isn't it?
532.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Did you say tree fitty?
I did not.
Oh, I thought you said tree fitty. And I was just like, man.
I like how your mind parsed that, though.
Yeah. I was hesitant. We had pull request 420 come through. I think it was Willow's.
Mm.
And I my approval message was 420 smoke cake. And though I don't purvey in green sweaters, I appreciate the humor therein. And then I realized, like, wait, this isn't our repo. This is our client's repo.
Yeah, I know. That's happened to me a few times with my witty cake comments. I've had to delete them and go, let's.
Yeah. I think that will sneak under the radar.
Yeah.
That's what somebody who does partake in that would put, though.
Indeed.
And forget about it.
It's true.
Yeah, I might take offense to that.
Yeah. I need somebody to go out there and approve another pull request for a hot fix.
I got you. HF2. What do we see here? Let me take a gander. Oh, I'll allow it.
Oh, wow.
You get Zoom cake.
Man, I'm nervous. Everybody's listening to me approve a pull request.
Ooh,
on that top one, is that okay? Is that a thing you can get?
When Tyrell is the one who did that, and I saw that, and I started writing a comment back and being like, what? And then I was just like, wait a second, let me go test this. And that is a way to do it.
Okay.
What did I do?
Referencing an ID by underscore ID in Django instead of dot notation.
Yeah, that way you don't get the whole object. You just want the ID off the main object you have, rather than saying, give me that object and its ID, because it holds the relationship. It'll just give you the ID for the object instead of instantiating the whole object.
Yep. I thought the same thing, Will, when I originally saw that.
Django.
So the good news is that the... that's just because it's active false. I hate that. That's how that has to work. Good news is the reprocessing of the initial upload went through and processed correctly on the front end. So,
sweet.
Yes. I just need to see that the other uploads are going to go through with this latest deploy, and then I think we'll be good.
I need to drop off for a second. I'll be back. I will. Who wants host? Who wants it?
You can give it to me and I can give it to Sharon.
Austin gets hosted.
Yeah, share a screen. That's probably wise.
Making you the host. So I'll be back.
It was funny as hell when that thing just like, it just like kick us all out. Oh my God.
They're really opinionated about that hour. So, hey, wait a second. What are all these? Where are all these from?
Sorry, dude.
Wait, these are from yesterday. But this, wait, what day is it today? I'm sorry.
It is 6/12. It's not 6/3.
Yeah, it's 12.
Darn you, plant-like logging system.
Plant.
Does it say backwards?
No. Sometimes the ones that will show at the top of the log are just like these orphaned tasks. And they throw me for a loop every once in a while. All right. That looks fine.
I suppose it's trying to be helpful and go like, hey, these, I don't know what happened to these. Maybe you do.
Well, something we may be able to look at is this got called, this new task that we added, but nothing followed with it, and it just reported back as a success. So that may be something we need to check.
Isn't one, so that, okay, yeah, that's the one I did.
Yeah, we just may need to confirm, because it just came back as a success, and I didn't see anything get triggered based off of that as well. And I would have expected to see like a bunch of other things.
The two that happen. Mm-hmm. There's two or one that happened because of it.
Right, right.
But
well, technically many of those twos or ones based on the upload, right?
Yeah.
Maybe some.
Yeah, you're right, many.
In that chain.
But was it the right type? Well, it did get called, so yeah, it was the right type.
Run in.
Now that our deploy process takes so long again, it gives me nightmares of when I was having to do this when we were first setting up like the whole pipeline, and our tests were running for like 17 minutes, and there was like a Wednesday night I was just trying to push a bunch of changes for the customer, and I just said, yeah, screw it, and I tore out the test to get it down to like a 1 minute runtime.
That's how you know it feels like a real app though when the test suite takes a half hour to run.
I can start to understand other developers' pains. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes. Yeah. Waiting for tests to finish? Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I don't see any of them. But I don't see anything but one thing.
Yeah. Which typically when that happens, what I've seen is the syntax for...
Well, I'm not seeing any... I'm not even seeing what you saw yet. So I don't know. It's way back. I don't really know. I can't see anything but one type of task.
Yeah, it could be a syntax error though, maybe, probably.
I assume.
I would have think it would crash though, because I had some of those before and it did.
You would think so, but it does not. Oh, yeah. I know what it is. You don't have a delay at the end.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, both of these need a delay at the end. Yeah, or apply async.
Yeah,
one of the two.
I hate those things. Because at first I was trying to put dots. I was like, what the hell? Why isn't it working? Stupid. I don't like it.
I just wish it would, like...
Because it's so confusing. You can't even tell where you are. When I was trying to read that stuff, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, I wish it would do more around the syntax. Like, there's no reason you would ever call this task without one of the two, I don't think. Unless you're just creating maybe the signature and then passing the signature and then calling it at a later time. Maybe that would be a reason to do it. But, like, feels like it should just give you something out that says, yo, you didn't actually call me. Like, If you didn't return the signature to a variable and do an assignment based off of it, there should be a syntax error that just checks and says, nah, dog, you got to actually call me. Oh, please just deploy already. Alan, did you end up finding the other place on that crop relationship?
What?
The relationship for the top part of the front end.
That's still a work in progress.
Still a work in progress.
Is it possible to put the chain on more than one line?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, be careful with that white space. I have had to fix issues because white space will break it at times.
It need one space? Because
I don't know what the exact rules are, but I know white space will break the actual call, and it will not tell you. Because I had one of my calls separated onto like six different lines because that's how long it was. And it was breaking, and just for shits and giggles, I put it all on one line just to test it out, and it worked. So
that's where you could maybe spread out like that, but I turn on, in VS Code, I turn on the little dot notation for the white spaces, just so I can see where there actually is white space and where there's not. It's white space matters in Python.
Yeah, but it shouldn't if it's wrapped like that, because like, when you can do like a function and then have a bunch of arguments and then just put them on different lines. You don't have to put them all on the same line.
That's what I thought as well. But it definitely exploded on me.
Because that really should be what it is. A function called chain that takes functions in.
So I'm wondering, for all of these uploads that didn't get the relationship created to the third party, if I can just recall this piece on each and every one of them.
Try it.
And that's not going to duplicate them or anything? It's not going to...
Where is that task? There it is. So I'm wondering if I can just call that on each one of these, and that this will create the relationship. Because I'm pretty sure that's all that code is doing. Well, we actually create mappings as well. Did that get created? Technically, yes. There's a real... What do we think would show here if it had a null relationship? What do we think it would show here if it had a null relationship? I'm trying to see if this got called at all, because the mapping gets created on this as well.
And
it would technically have a null relationship if that wasn't there. And so I'm curious what admin would actually show if that null relationship existed.
I think it'll show a little negative sign, like a little bitty dash.
So you think by the idea that showing at least empty values here, we do, well, why don't I just actually go look?
Wouldn't it be something there?
Unless it's nothing.
Because I is that row even going to be there if there's nothing there? It is, right?
That's what I'm curious on. So let me see. 533. Let's go to our tool to manage our instances and go look at this in the database. I am not in the right shell. Where is my foreign key? Oh, wait, because this model doesn't own a relationship. No way. That is going to actually be...
Whoa.
Yes, that's what I meant. Just run. So
there's nothing.
Yeah. So that whole call didn't even happen. So it's not even that it didn't create the third party relationship. It's that. Get on the way, Zoom, please. Stop trying in the toolbar. So that whole call didn't happen, which means did that get broken? Did this? That still feels right.
That stays the same. This one changes though.
Is there a missing argument there? Because we have the mapping and we have sample. We didn't put in mapping, so we didn't put in something blank there. But it says blank is true, and is this sample can also be blank?
Yeah, it's providing a default, so it can be not provided. That is strange that this relationship didn't even get created. I mean, unless I just wrote that query wrong. Let's go to the checking query. There is a noticeable gap there, and I'm pretty sure that noticeable gap corresponds to each and every single one of these. Yes, it does.
Yeah. Did he get interrupted or something?
That's possible. That's what Tyrell's original thought was, that it just got blown out during the deploy, because the time's kind of correlated.
Yeah.
But, you know, like that would have had to happen in that instant, because like it all happens in the same API call. So like the same API call that updates the file would update those relationships. So like that's a very short time in between those calls. Well, the answer to our admin question is that it will just show it, regardless of the null relationship, it will just show.
But there is no checkbox by the delete, so it's not saying that there is something there.
Well, I don't think it owns, if that's not Cascade, it's not going to show, right? Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I also meant on that one page, so like, go back. Let's say that you had something there.
Oh, yeah, right here. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, that's true. Very strange. Well, I'll have to retry and upload to see if that breaks when this deploy finishes. And we are just about to deploy. Thank God.
Is there anything else running while this is happening?
I don't think so.
Some received stuff. Oh, I think that's old, though. Maybe. Yeah, it's old.
Come on.
18 minutes. That's a long time.
Yes, you failed.
Oh, there goes.
I know you will. Rerun from fail, please. I don't think that actually matters. Yeah, because it's still just upgrading the workload regardless.
Is this still recording?
Yes. It is.
That's a stupid thing to say while you're recording.
I just got back and it was very quiet, and I heard, is this still recording? And I saw a dead pod. So, looks like you're having fun.
Yeah.
Catch me up, like I'm a listener who went to the bathroom.
So, what our original concerns about the third-party integration possibly being broken, what's even more curious is within that same API call, another relationship to a mappings gets created. And that relationship doesn't even exist either. So if something really did break while deploying, it would have had to all happen within this single API call, which feels unlikely, but maybe so. Because this is the same API call that does the actual file upload, and we do have files there. And if it's not a deploy, that means somehow this condition isn't being met, which would have been a break. So we're about to find out. It's about to deploy.
Cool. And
I just need to do a re-upload.
We've been waiting on that on that hotfix. Good time.
I was trying to think if it is possible for me to just call that task on these data sets specifically instead of re-uploading, but because it doesn't have this relation, well, I don't think we actually care about this relationship for these types of uploads.
I think we spoof that.
Right. Yeah, we do. Yeah. I'm just going to try calling that task specifically.
Back to the circle, or as I call it, rectangle, when I'm on a call trying to be discreet. So it's not cleaning up after itself for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why all of a sudden it's not cleaning up after itself.
Are we not using words that probably wouldn't be a problem?
Probably. It's more fun, at least.
Yeah.
We're all green on circle, and I'm going to go get rid of them failed pods. So all good there. Oh, so I was going to ask this to actually like try and provide a little bit more content for our listeners instead of them just listening to us live code. So you guys know I spent some time today writing up a blog post for some content for our tech blog. Mm-hmm. And I found myself kind of trying to figure out what voice to write in the sense of like, who is my reader?
Like, yeah.
And so like, it's a technical blog. It's not going to be a business focused blog. I'm going to be talking
right.
about a lot of the tooling we use. I'm basically taking my FantPy talk and turning it into a blog post.
Gotcha.
But I know at least starting off with, I kind of like almost talked more like I was talking to a business person or stakeholder. When you guys are looking for content, like looking at blog content and things like that, if the blog content, at least the voice seems more towards like business folk, does that dissuade you? Does that turn you off when you're reading it? Do you just like scroll down and like, well, at least show me code so that I can confirm that you know what you're talking about? Like that's what I'm trying to figure out is like the voice for this post.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I capture the right audience because it's going to get real technical real fast, but I'm starting off talking about like data's everywhere. You got problems with data. You got data in your junk drawer. Well, let's figure out something to do with that data. But like programmers don't care about that. Programmers are just like, show me how to use that tool. Show me how you used that tool to see if it's how I want to use that tool. So yeah, I'd love to get some thoughts on that. Does anybody have any thoughts or input?
It doesn't necessarily turn me off, and I've always written like the couple of blog posts I've written for our tech blog, I take on the tone of an engineer for sure. But I always like to kind of give a mile high view of it though, because when I'm looking for content, I do kind of like to look at a summary and just go, what am I going to read here? And, you know, and if that resonates, then I start looking for code.
I definitely yeah. need the code because if yeah. I don't see it, I'm going to be like, this isn't going to help. I'm going to skim through the words and then I'm going to look at that and I'm just going to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not the type of audience you are trying to target.
No, it definitely, I'd love to get some in there. I just, I got distracted again. Sorry. The problem is that all the coding I did was live coding, which was my first time just straight up YOLO live coding a talk. Normally I'd have it all on the thing, but I was just like, nah, and I'm comfortable enough with this tooling. That was cool live coding it. But now I'm kind of bummed because I'm just like, oh man, if I'd have put that in my presentation, I wouldn't have typed it all out again. So it is what it is. Oh, we just got our 10-minute warning.
Oh,
I think this will be a good sign to wind down the podcast.
I would.
Why does it do this? Why is it telling you, why is it limiting your freedom of speech?
Because they want you to buy it.
Yeah, it's not, you can say whatever you want, but you can only say it for 40 minutes at a time for free. Then you can pay to say whatever you want for as long as you want.
That is so weird.
That's capitalism.
That's capitalism, young lady.
But it doesn't do that whenever we normally do the podcast, does it?
Oh, I think that's because Casey uses his fancy paid account.
Yeah.
Okay. And all of us farmers have to use the free ones.
Yeah, isn't that stupid though? That then the teachers, like their class lasts longer than that, I'm pretty sure. Sometimes. Yeah. So they gotta pay for that. Yeah. I mean, maybe they can get a free pass because they're a teacher. Or I don't know.
Probably something like that going on. So So that deploy's done. Have you seen workers kick off, Austin?
Say that again.
I said our deploy is done. Did our workers kick off?
Yeah.
Cool.
There is a missing S there.
Yeah, there's a missing S there.
No!
We've seen that before. Did we not get that fixed and out?
Was that a thing that you wrote, or is that a thing you put in the command line there?
That is a thing that got triggered by an automatic process.
Let's just type object, but then you'll get all the objects too.
Object dot.
Yeah. There's one, but there's not any other ones.
Give me that line number.
462.
What? You need a pool.
There's nothing there.
maybe we did not get the latest stuff on a worker. Maybe we had worker stuff failed to get redeployed. The plot thickens. Yeah, I'm on 462 and I got nothing on that line. That bug fix rolled out.
It did not restart.
Go to your, let's redeploy all the workers to Rancher. Ready? Here we go. And redeploy. Happening.
Don't you hate that? Like when you're just, you screw up on the task or whatever you're writing, because it's typos and such.
Oh, yeah.
Typos. And then you got to rebuild everything.
I posted some code that hooks into Django's live server restart that will automatically restart your worklist for you. So you don't have to down Docker and then build it back up. So there is a way to get that to work.
It used to, they used to have live reloading, like for when you were developing Celery, and they intentionally took it out. I guess because people were leaving it on in deployments.
And do you want it to reload? If, like, let's say you delete a space, do you really want it to reload and re-trigger everything potentially?
Right.
These are the things to ponder. All right, our workloads are redeployed.
The mailman is sending an API request.
What? Or is it the milkman?
The milkman, yeah. All right. All the tasks are back on the queue. We will see if this works this time. And so Tyrell, this is the this is the upload that you wanted me to reprocess at the beginning of the day. So this is the one related to customer changes that we wanted to see would work. So
excellent.
We are about to end up.
We're what? Do we get to finish the podcast on a win? Is that what I'm hearing?
I think so. We've got our broccoli laborers laboring.
Labor the broccoli.
I'm really glad that was just a redeploy issue, because I was going to be so upset if I had to watch Rectangle do another deploy for 20 minutes.
It all takes so long. Stupid Rectangle. Awesome. Well, let's finish on a win. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Anybody have any last minute thoughts from this podcast experiment?
Programming is so much fun.
Yeah.
It is.
If you hated this podcast, leave comments so Casey never lets us do it again.
Haven't you had much worse, though? I meant just experiences with this.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely is.
Oh, much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a relatively tame Friday afternoon deploy. All things considered.
Yeah, nothing was really that much on fire, you know. Yeah, it was good.
There's a part of me that almost rather have just big explosions than mild inconveniences.
Why? Are you like a masochist or something?
Maybe. I was missing the flair, like the passion in this one. It was just kind of like,
yeah.
Well, that's what happened.
I know what you're saying.
What happened with that late night deploy when we did the last production rollout, or the second to last one maybe.
Oh, and it was, I just
like
about that.
Nothing caught bad fire, but everything, it was just like a little fire here and there, and so we all just kind of ended up staying up till 2:30 in the morning because of just little dinky fires, and I was like, oh, I'll take care of it. So there was no like mad rush, but it was never just like, we're good. It was just like, okay, I'll take care of that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh wait, go get that one. Okay, cool.
If it's a big fire, the stakes are higher, the adrenaline starts pumping, like that's there is some fun in that. Not that I welcome it every day.
Yeah, I think I'd rather mad rush for an hour, like, you know, things are exploding, like will we even be able to keep our customer, versus like 4 hours of like, let me change this. Oh crap, let me change this. Oh crap.
No, we can't ever we can't have that. Will we even keep our customer bugs? Like, those are the worst. That's how Casey can ulcers. We don't need ulcers. We've had those bugs. I don't know that I've had one of those bugs with. I don't know that I've had one of those bugs with Lofty, but I've definitely had those bugs with other companies. And yeah, those are just like, I get to call the CEO now, and this is not enjoyable. So
yeah, minor inconveniences. You at least know there's a point where I'm going to be done. And so if I just stop being a dumbass and get my shit together and put the right thing in. Whereas a major inconvenience or like, can I just give up? Can I just lay on the floor and die?
That's what it is. That's what it is. And then like 2:30 at night, you start kind of negotiating in your head. It's like, I mean, how inconvenient will this be in the morning?
Yeah. All right, guys, we're at the less than a minute warning. So everybody have a good weekend. Thanks for tuning in to the live ringside seats. And end it on a win is always good. So see everybody on Monday.
Peace out.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks for listening to Friday Afternoon Deploy, recorded and produced by the team at Lofty Labs. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to future episodes via iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also follow at Friday Deploy on Facebook and Twitter for episode previews, live streams, and other behind-the-scenes peeks. Past episodes and show notes on this episode can be found at friday.hirelofty.com. That's friday.hirelofty.com. If you'd like to contact the show, or if you're local to the Northwest Arkansas area and would like to be a guest on the show, you can email us at podcast@hirelofty.com.